some viruses go after the body. The nightmare virus goes after the mind. Today, we are discussing Nadine Brandis's new novel, The Nightmare Virus. Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author, CJ Malacy, and in this episode, I am thrilled to welcome back to the podcast my friend and fellow young adult author, Nadine Brandis. Nadine Brandis has been known to do wild things, like ride a sleeper train across Russia, in the name of book research. She's the four-time Carol Award-winning author of seven young adult books and has been a professional fiction editor for over a decade. She is passionate about Jesus, motherhood, and creating with the Creator. When she's not busy inventing worlds and magic systems, she's adventuring through Middle Earth with her Aura husband and their four halfling children. Nadine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time.
Oh, I am so excited to have you back, and I have been looking forward to it as well. I love talking with you about books and Jesus and following God and all these things, so I can't wait to dive in today. And for our listeners who don't know, Nadine was on the podcast several months back, and we discussed her debut trilogy, the Out of Time series. But today we're talking about The Nightmare Virus, which is her newest novel coming out in July 2024. So when this episode airs, the book will have just been released. And this book is so good. I love all of your stories, but this one might take the cake for me. It might be my very favorite. I loved it. So would you mind sharing with our listeners a little about the book?
Sure. I mean, I'm even though I'm a published author, I still get nervous having to pitch my book. But the book is about a story where there's a virus that has kind of taken over the world. I know that's sounding a little too close to home, but I promise I wrote this before the pandemic. And it is a story where when people fall asleep, they enter an alternate universe of sorts in their mind. I call it the nightmare virus. And so everyone who falls asleep wakes up in there, and it's a different world. And my main character is trying to find a cure for the nightmare virus, because the longer you're infected, the shorter amount of time you have awake in the real world. And eventually, once you fall asleep for good, you're in the nightmare for good. The parallel world aspect is what really got me excited about this story, looking at, from a spiritual standpoint, that this world is not our home and we're meant for a kingdom above. And those were the roots to this entire story. And when I think about this world that we are in is a temporary home, a lot of times it doesn't feel temporary. We get caught up in how long it seems we still have here and the endlessness of it. But when you look at it, at least for me, when I look at it through fiction, if there is a more temporary world, and I can connect the parallels of our actual world to that a bit more. So that's a little bit about the book. I probably could have pitched it better, but oh well.
No, it's great. There are so many different layers to the story because you do have the parallel worlds, which I love. And what you just said reminded me of one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes, which is, "If I find in myself desires nothing in this world can satisfy, I can only conclude that I was not made for this world." I think yes. I kind of messed it up a little, but go look up that quote because it is so good. It is one of my absolute favorites, but I think that that's the heart kind of behind what you're saying. It's like, okay, I have desires for something more, but sometimes I forget that those desires can't be fulfilled in this world. And I do love how a story can bring that reality to life for us in a new way. And in your book, because he's going into a nightmare, your main character, which I'm completely blanking on his name at the moment. Could you?
Kane.
Yes.
Kane, like the brother nobody wants to talk about from the book of Genesis.
Yes. Yes. So Kane goes into the nightmare virus, and that feels so real. And it was so interesting to, as the story goes on, I feel like he starts to forget that there's another world sometimes too, which if that's a spoiler, tell me and I will edit that out of the podcast.
I mean, we could do like light spoiler, the whole book, like to talk about it at all, there's going to be some amount of spoiler, so but not true. Of the big things. But yes, yes, a lot of the just everybody just if you're afraid of spoilers, just pause and read it and then come then back.
Come back. Because I'm too excited about the story to talk and talking to you about the story. So I'm sure I'm going to accidentally say something I should not say. But
that's okay. I'm someone where I'm like, give me spoilers when you talk about a book because I know I'm going to forget them.
Yes.
By the time I read the book. But, you know, everybody has a different level of spoiler that they will allow. So we'll keep it as minimal as possible. Perfect. I think that one is okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, which I mean, I think that's even in the blurb, like he starts getting caught up in the nightmare world. So not a spoiler.
There we go. Okay, perfect. It's on the back cover. It means we there can we talk go. About it. Yes. But yes, he gets caught up in this nightmare world. And it's like us on Earth, where it's so easy to get caught up in this mm-hmm. world and forget that there is another kingdom coming. And that's the one that all of our desires and longings are going to be fulfilled in ultimately, because at the end of the day, the deepest longings in our heart are all connected to our creator, right? And so we can't have them completely fulfilled until we have perfect union with him in heaven one day. It's coming, but it's so easy to feel like Cain and just be like, this is all there is. And so I loved that parallel world look, like what we got to see in the story, and it echoed through my heart and it stayed in my mind. I read this book a few months ago and I still can picture scenes in it in my head. You know, I'm not sure if they're how you picture the scenes, but I picture them a certain way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It was just that idea of, you know, we have these desires. They can't be fulfilled in the world that we're in. But once we realize that they can't be fulfilled in the world we're currently in, it can help us understand more why we're in the world we're in. Because obviously we're here for a purpose. Mm. God has purpose for us. And there's this beautiful balance that comes from understanding my desires will not be met here, but what is my, you know, what is my purpose? What is the reason that I'm here? And you can go at that full force when you're not expecting this world to fill every single need. It's easier to sacrifice things that you desire for the Lord when you know that the greatest things that you desire will be fulfilled in the Lord.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
I love that. So with this story in particular, was the theme and the parallel worlds, you said this was something that drew you to the story, but was that the impetus for it, or was there something else that kind of sparked the idea to begin with?
That was, I mean, with some books, a theme comes first. And that was a theme that I really wanted to capture in a story. And it took a while for my brain to find the right story that would convey that theme. But the reason that I took the nightmare route is because when I was in college, this was like 15 years ago now, when I was a college student, there was a season of my life when I had horrible, horrible nightmares all the time, multiple times a night. I tried all of the things to get rid of them, lots of prayer, and just I tried so much to make them stop, and they wouldn't stop. And there was a time in my life where I just felt very trapped by them. And a lot of them were very nonsensical. And I had to come to terms with the Lord, like, hey, Lord, you know that I want you to take these away and you're not taking them away. So I have to still be content in you, even though it feels like there's this darkness waiting for me every single time I go to sleep. Wow. And it was a really heavy time, but also a very growing time in the Lord of sacrificing this sense of control as though I could control that. And I couldn't. And I had to just trust that the Lord would still be my protector and that he had a purpose. And even if I never come to know that purpose, and thankfully, after a few years, they stopped. And I know that that was the Lord, but it's always had me seeing just the spiritual battle on a different plane and capturing this idea that, yes, okay, we could be in a nightmare. It can be seen as this horrible, horrible thing that all you want to do is escape and be out of it. But God's purpose still exists in you, even when you're in the midst of it. Mm. And that was that then became the channel for that theme. And a story came out of the marriage of those two things.
Wow. Isn't it fascinating how sometimes God takes the darkest things in our life and he's like, I'm going to actually use that to show my light and my truth in a new way. And just the theme is clearly one that's important to you. I mean, it should mm-hmm. be important to every one of us as followers of Christ. And yeah. yet you needed the right story to convey it. And when you were in that dark place and having those nightmares, that must have been horrifying. I can't imagine. I hate having a bad dream. I don't like that at all. You know, I like the dreams where I can fly or do something fun, right. You know, not the scary ones. But just to take something that was, you know, experiencing that darkness on that level, and then to use that to take what Satan meant for evil, right, and turn it and mm-hmm. use it for good, and now bringing an incredible story out of it. I just love how God can even redeem and restore things that we think have no, in our human logic, no purpose or point, you know?
Yes. Oh, and he can. And he can take it to places that we can never imagine. And I would much rather have darkness in my life with union with the Lord than none of that and no union with God, no purpose in him, never knowing what is the reason for any of these things.
Mm. Amen. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I really do. So this story has the parallel universe, but I would say it's more of a sci-fi than fantasy, right? Kind of a book. So are there other movies or books that you would say are similar to this story, just for any of our listeners to get an idea? Oh, this is something I would love.
Yes, I like to pitch it as Gladiator meets Inception with a Ready Player One twist on it. And I found my early readers agree wholeheartedly that those three comparisons capture it pretty well.
Yes.
And my publisher and I had a long discussion on, is it fantasy? Is it science fiction? Is it science fiction? Because the nightmare world is much more of a fantasy feel,
sure.
But the real world is more futuristic. So we just call it science fantasy.
Love that. Yes. One of my friends, who I believe is a friend of yours who did your cover, Emily Haney,
yes.
She writes mm-hmm. science fantasy. And honestly, mm-hmm. she made me fall in love with the genre. So I was like, oh, I love more of this. So, you know, a little science yes. fiction and a little fantasy, and you just pull them together. It's great.
It's fun. I think it's going to be a growing genre. Clint Hall is another Enclave author who writes science fantasy.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't think he did that intentionally. It was another one of those. We're not sure which camp to categorize it in. So we'll meld them.
Which is fun. I like the melding of things. It's the what if questions and scenarios that just unravel. And sometimes they require science fiction and sometimes fantasy and sometimes both. So it's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
In this story, do you have a scene or a character that you really enjoyed writing or fell in love with as you crafted the story?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's cliche, but my main character, I come up with my characters last. They're the ones I finish the draft and all of my characters are boring and flat with no purpose and no arc. And then I go back and I figure them out. And Cain really felt like he took on a personality of his own as I was writing him, instead of waiting for me to come back and finish writing him. He was very snarky, and he definitely had his own voice, which maybe sounds weird to a non-writer, but there are sometimes where characters just say, this is who I am, and you have to write me that way. And so he took me by surprise, and he was fun. I think he and I would be friends in real life. We'd be awkward friends, but we would be friends. So I really enjoyed that, because he was going through such an internal journey during his crazy external journey in this story. And I felt like I got to discover that with him and figure out what made him tick, what made him, what he was afraid of and what he desired. And I got to find out those answers along the way with him.
Mm.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yes. No, he is a great character. I loved his snarkiness. He was fun to read. You know, you kind of root for him and his little bit of an attitude at times. You're like, yes, I relate to that. It's good.
And he hates math. So I'm like, he's my best friend.
Yes,
now.
Same. I am not a math girl. I try. It doesn't ever work.
Yep, that's okay.
Yes.
More room for imagination, right?
Exactly, exactly. I leave the math to the people who can math well. I am not one of those people.
Me neither.
Yes. So we already kind of touched on the theme of the book in some ways, but I do love to just kind of dive deeper into that. And mm-hmm. we've talked about how it's the parallel worlds and the theme of living for another world and another place. Mm-hmm. But could you just maybe talk a little bit more about that and the importance of it to you? I know we did touch on it a bit, but I like to just focus there a bit if you don't mind.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that really stuck with me while writing this book and while thinking of this world was this idea that we you know, in real life, we have the cure, so to say, of Jesus Christ. He is the answer to our purpose in life. He is the answer to where do I find hope? Where do I find light? Where do I find life? That's Jesus and our eternal salvation, our eternal, where we end up eternally. The answer to that is Jesus. And a lot of, I used to be very timid. I mean, I'm still timid in some areas, but I used to be very timid in my faith, wondering, you know, should I share, should I not? Especially in publishing, there's kind of, there's the general market side of things and it can feel very hostile toward Christianity. And there was a time in my publishing journey where I knew I just had to decide, am I going to be vocal about Jesus or not? And I mean, it wasn't a matter of, am I going to be a Christian or not? It was just how much of that am I going to talk about? Because I wanted to talk about it more, but I was publishing in the general market and that was kind of a no-no. And I just felt this conflict in my spirit of, I can't do both sides. Yeah. I can't straddle this line. It's not going to work for me. It's not how I'm designed. It feels like I'm being ashamed of what Jesus has done for me. And so I had a long heart-to-heart with the Lord and journaling and finally just decided, okay, this is where I'm at. And yes, I lost followers. I lost friends, but I knew that at least I was representing the Lord the way he deserved and the way that brought calm and peace to my heart, which was to talk about him in everything. That's the whole reason I write anyway. And our life is so short to be able to share this answer with humanity of Jesus is the way, whether they accept it or not. God has given us this good news to share. And so I wanted, you know, Cain is on the search for a cure. And this idea of in the nightmare, everyone feels like they're perishing, but there is an answer. There is freedom. There's still hope and light. And I believe there is hope and light in every story, real life and fiction. And wanting to capture that through the theme of this parallel world, that even when that world seems so, so, so dark, there is hope, there's light, there's an answer, and there's a purpose to it. Mm.
Yes, hope and light are so vital to have, in especially as Christians in our stories, but because we need to have our eyes open to see that even on the darkest of days, in Christ, we can have hope and we can have light, even when everything around us is shattered, everything around us is so dark. And so I think that theme is vital, especially in a world that seems to get increasingly dark, you know, and we need, yes, we need to more than ever be the light that shines like that city on a hill that can't, the light that doesn't get hidden, right? Under a bushel, that classic kids song that we sang in Sunday school. I don't know if they still sing that in Sunday school, but
I still sing it in my house.
Yes. So. It's such a good one, but it's still that truth is still there. We need to shine and we need to be those who bring that light into the darkness that say, look, even though like in the nightmare virus, it's so dark, it's so scary, there can still be hope and light here. There's still a way to survive that maybe you didn't see at first. And we have that in Jesus. And you're right, like we have limited time to speak about that. And I love how vocal you are about the Lord in what you do. And Jesus is divisive. I think we live in a culture that they want to make Jesus either something that he's not and say he accepts in a way that he was never going to say no to anybody or not hold to any biblical standards, or they're like, oh, we don't want anything to do with him at all. And it's like to actually show the real Jesus, it will make people turn away at times. It's just going to. Some people, they really don't want to submit their life to him in the way that I think deep inside they know they need to. If they acknowledge Jesus is who he says he is who he is, then they have to change their life. And people just don't want to do that at the end of the day. Some people, they just want what they want. And so they're never going to like that message. But others, even if they don't know him, I believe just that's like we can be the fragrance of Christ to a lost world. And sometimes that fragrance is death to people, but other times it's life, and they turn and they find him. And that's the most incredible thing. And I believe that when we can actually stand up and say that and claim who we follow, it changes everything. Because if we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, if that is true in our lives, if that's how we live and walk, that radical truth coming out of our lives, that not being ashamed of something that other people would be ashamed of, I think it really causes people to turn around and take a second look, which is important in this crazy world, because we're not trying to make them look at us, and that's not what I'm saying, but like actually make them see like, okay, there is something, there's someone bigger than the mess that you are in right now.
Yes. Yes, very much. And I mean, when I think back to my life, which I'm sure all of us can do this, and we think, who are the people who have most drastically affected our lives? And for me, they immediately pop to mind, you know, this person, my dad, my professor, these people. And they're all people who were so, so passionate about the Lord. And so they had people who didn't like them, but there was no shame, you know, okay, they're going to offend some people with their fire for the Lord. And seeing that is such a beautiful thing. And seeing the power of change in their lives from these visionaries for Jesus stuck with me. And it created a desire in me to not be ashamed. And to, if I can have like even an inkling of that impact on people that my professor and my dad and these people had on me, that could change a life, because I've seen how it is with my life, that it's changed my life. And it's also formed a lot of the passion for Jesus that I have. I can always grow bolder, and I always hope that I do. And, you know, I've had people say like, I mean, even as you said, like, I love how you share your faith. And my hope is that in my sharing will encourage others to continue sharing theirs. Because if you, you know, if you look back at like, let's see, I'm even in my publishing journey, like before Fox was published, I was not very vocal. And even though I was passionate about the Lord in my own life, I was not very vocal about it yet. And so the change that happened in me still feels pretty recent, even though that was like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's possible for anybody. It's not like I was just born this way. No, I was born like 99.9% introvert. And God's like, okay, we're going to pull you a little bit closer to the middle, give you the confidence of Christ, and now go forth.
Yes. Thankfully, we have a God who can transform and change us. And so we are not stuck in our patterns and behaviors that we wish we could change. On our own, we can't change ourselves. I don't think a person can truly change themselves. But in Christ, we can be transformed. And that is the power of the gospel, right? We are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that is what's so beautiful. So yes, maybe somebody is listening to this and they're like, oh, but that's not who I am. That's not how I've been. I wish I could do that, but I don't feel that. And it's like, well, that's okay. Like, it's okay to recognize our weakness. And I think it's so important to recognize that we can't, that we're weak, and then to turn that weakness to the one whose strength is made perfect in weakness. And Jesus can give us the strength to do anything he calls us to do, and give us purpose as we walk with him. And that's something you've mentioned a couple times. And I think we live in a culture where people are desperate for purpose and not sure where to find it, and looking for it in all the wrong places, really. But I think as we give our lives to Jesus, we find in him who we were made to be and the purpose that he has for our lives. And
yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So, I always love talking to you, because I feel like we could just talk about Jesus all day long, and it's like the best thing ever. It's so great. But I do want to, we are coming to the end of our half hour here, and I'd want to make sure we talk a little bit about you, which you have shared about yourself on the podcast before. But one thing I'd actually love, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little more deeply, it's something we've talked about. It's something I know you've shared about on your Instagram feed and everything, but you are passionate. Even in your bio, you say you're passionate about creating with the Creator. And I'm passionate about that as well. But for our listeners who are like, what does that actually look like or mean? Would you mind just sharing a little bit of your heart in that with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to be careful not to get too much on a soapbox, because I love talking about this. When you look at the Bible, the very first words are, in the beginning, God created. He is the ultimate creator. He's the first creator. And knowing that is wrapped up in who he is, this perfect being who created all of us, he loves to create. That's how we even came to be about, God delights in creating. He delighted to create us. And then he created us delighting to create, you know? So yes. Any passion that we have to create is from him, because that's part of him. And we're made in his image. And creating the most perfect way that we can create that is whole, that is shalom, that is the way things are meant to be, is by inviting that perfect creator to join us in that process. And he gives me story ideas. He's gotten me past writer's block. He's given me confidence in my story, even when it didn't feel done. He has erased, you know, this desire for perfectionism inside me. Erased is maybe a strong word. He's given me the weapons to fight it. But all of these things, these doubts, these struggles that we deal with as creative beings, you know, hating our work sometimes, or feeling like it's never good enough, or getting to the end of thing, it's taking too long, or wondering if we're ever going to be published. All of those doubts and emotions that we go through as creatives, the answer to that is inviting the Lord to create with you. And I can say this because I've experienced it. I've been in that place of feeling controlled by fears or doubts or despair. And then once I started creating with the Lord and praying over my writing and making it an act of communion with him, that completely changed my entire writing process, so that the whole thing from start to finish can be joy, even in the midst of trials. Thanks a lot, James, for that. But I'm passionate about creating with him because it changes the entire process. It takes that joy that you feel of, I have a story and I want to tell it, and it makes that joy last for every time that you continue to create. I mean, how many authors do you hear trying to get back to the joy and the inspiration and the muse that hit when we were first starting out, you know, with that first book? We were unhindered. We were dreamy and starry-eyed, and I'm just going to be a writer and I'm going to create worlds and this book's going to be the best thing ever. And while, you know, our logic kind of comes in the further you're into that process, that delight and joy can remain. Mm. And that comes from writing or creating, you know, writing, painting, creating music, whatever sort of artist or creative bent you have, that all comes from the Lord and from having him join you in that process.
Yes. I love that so much. If I could underline words as they were being said, I would totally be doing that right now, because it is so true. And I've experienced it myself. It's why I wanted to have you share it with our listeners, because I think we can say it. And as we get to do it, right, that's something, as for me, as I sit down to write or edit or any part of the writing process that I'm in, I ask the Lord to be in it with me. I know I can't do it myself. I can't create stories that are going to be what I want them to be, what I long for them to be, without him coming into the process. And then he does. And the days where I think I can't do this, or I'm overwhelmed and I invite him in, he does transform that space. And there is a joy and excitement that comes from getting to do it with him. And I agree, it's for any creative process, inviting the ultimate creator in, it changes the game. And it does. I love how you said it takes that first love, so to speak, and keeps it going. Like, it keeps it burning. You don't lose it. You get to continually enjoy, because suddenly it's more than just creating something for someone else to enjoy. It's experiencing God in the creative process with you. And it's like, if you've ever cooked with a kid, it's an experience and a half. But, you know, there is a joy that that child has. You know, I've cooked with my niece several times. And when she was very little, she would just make a huge, huge mess all over the place, you know, but she would be so happy to be cooking with me. And I feel like that's how I feel like my niece making a mess everywhere. And then the Lord just being in it, smiling with me and being like, okay, here we go. We're going to mix it now. We're going to do the, and it's just bringing me through that process. And there is something so sweet in that fellowship and in that focused time of just doing it with him, that it does take some of the pressure off too, because it's like, yes, I want people to enjoy my words and the things I create, of course. But even more, I got to enjoy something with God through that process. And that's so special. And it's something that I long to see any creative person experience. So whether you love painting or writing or singing or dancing, whatever that may, or cooking, you know, I think we can create in cooking as well. Any of that, just my encouragement is to take all that Nadine just said about creating with the creator and simmer on that for a little bit, and let the Lord kind of infuse your creative processes with himself in a way that you've never experienced before.
Yes. And I mean, if you think about it, he created the very idea of story, of imagination, of creativity. Like, those concepts alone were created by him. So it's not like, oh, I got a story idea and now I'll say, you know, come on in, God, look at this idea and help me with it. He gave that idea to each of us. Like, every single bit of our creative process, our desires, our ideas are from him. And he's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to say, thank you, and come a little closer. Or I guess it's us coming closer to him, because he's always just right there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. No, I agree. Passionately agree with you on all of these things. But we are unfortunately running out of time for today. So before we wrap things up, could you share with our listeners where they can connect with you and find the Nightmare Virus?
Yes. Yeah. So on social media, I'm mainly on Instagram. Nadine Brandis is my handle, but also my newsletter, which you can find on my website, nadinebrandis.com. I send out a monthly newsletter, and that is where I share a lot about motherhood and my writing updates and processes and book updates, book reveal surprises, those sorts of things. And The Nightmare Virus comes out in July, everywhere books are sold. So you can pre-order it now and save your receipts. Well, except when you're listening to it, it's out. You can find it.
Yes.
I keep forgetting this podcast coming out after it's out. So yeah, you can find The Nightmare Virus wherever books are sold. And all of my books are listed on my website. And I would love to connect with you. With anybody who wants to connect, you can always send me a message, even though it takes me a very long time to respond to messages, because I have four children who are my greatest stories that I am telling. And so they get all of my attention.
Yes. Well, that is so important. We've talked before about how vital the role of mother is in the life of a child. And so I think that's wonderful that you give your kids that much focus. But Nadine, thank you so much for being on the podcast again. It's, as always, a joy to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I absolutely loved having Nadine on the podcast again, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation. It always does my heart so much good to talk about Jesus, creating with the Creator, and the importance of remembering that this world is not my home. And I am thrilled that we were able to share with you about The Nightmare Virus. This book was such a great read, and I was honored to be able to read an early copy for an endorsement. I wanted to share that endorsement with you today. A sci-fi story with an incredible and unique twist, The Nightmare Virus immediately draws you in and won't let you go until you finish the last page. Enter a world that delves into the eternal struggle between good and evil, illuminates the strength found in truth and hope, and where faith shines even in the darkest of shadows. A world where what you create and how you create it has a far deeper meaning than you first realized. Brandis skillfully weaves a tale that spikes your adrenaline with night beasts, captures your imagination with twists and turns in a dream world that feels real, and asks questions that echo in your heart as you join Cain in search of answers. This pulse-pounding adventure will touch your heart and speak to your soul. I highly encourage you to grab a copy of this book. After recording this episode, Nadine and I decided to have it air before the book officially releases. So if you are listening to this before July 16th, the book is not officially out yet. But if you pre-order the book, you can still snag some awesome pre-order goodies. So be sure to order your copy today. This book does have life and death situations, some scary creatures, and it deals with some heavy moments. So if you have a young or sensitive reader, I recommend that a trusted parent or guardian read the story first. Before we go, I wanted to let you, my amazing listeners, know that I will be launching my Kickstarter for the third book in my award-winning Talionis series, Enemy of Talionis, this Friday, July 12th. If you want to get your hands on a copy of this book before it officially releases in December, then this is the way to do it. Plus, I have some fun and exciting extras in store for this campaign that you don't want to miss. I'll include a link to the Kickstarter in the show notes so you can check it out. But this campaign will only run for 2 weeks, so it will end on July 26. I recommend checking it out sooner than later. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean, young adult books, too.